to many different appeals. Here's just a few of them. Every year we give, well, this year it's £14,500 to the United Appeal. That goes to the wider work of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. In so many different agencies and things that are going on throughout our Presbyterian Church in Ireland, part of what we give, that £14,500, goes towards helping that. That comes out of what you give to outreach. It's an important part of who and what we are. The World Development Appeal at Christmas time that goes to folks across the world who are just running out of hope. This year, just over £2,500. The Moderator's Appeal that goes to very specific areas where there's great need across the world, almost £5,000. Christian Aid and Tear Fund, we divide up our harvest appeal between them. There's £11,000 gone there. We do give generously. But it's not just financially. All these other things too. There was a mountain of shoeboxes. I think I'm right in saying 260-something shoeboxes that were filled. And at Christmas time, you put the smiles on 260 little faces as they opened those boxes. Packed not just with bits and pieces, but with love. It's giving. I think I told you a few weeks ago that the Salvation Army folks were thoroughly embarrassed. They thought they'd brought a bigger vehicle this time to take away all the presents that were brought and left at the Christmas trees, but they had to go away and get another vehicle because you were just so generous. Week by week, folks put groceries in the shopping trolleys that are around the place, and those go to Oasis and Coleraine, who give out those items of food to people on our own doorsteps who struggle to put food on the table. As a congregation, we do respond generously to need around us, and that is so important. But it seems to be a principle that when we're given a lot, we have a responsibility to use those God-given resources both wisely and generously. So if God has placed a lot in your hands, then you have that responsibility to use it wisely and generously. As a congregation, when we have resources, we have a responsibility to use them wisely and generously too. How's God calling you to handle your finances, to look at your giving? It's interesting that when Paul talks to this church, verse 8 here of this passage, he doesn't command them. He doesn't stand up and say, you will give, you must give. Maybe it's just expected. But rather, they're called to compare the sincerity of your love by comparing it to the earnestness of others. And especially comparing it to Jesus. For we read these words, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." Jesus, who leaves the splendor and glory of heaven, the Word become flesh, to be born and live among us, and not just to take on human form, but to be born in the stable, to have a difficult life as a refugee, as someone who is mocked and persecuted, as someone who eventually dies on a cross. This Jesus who leaves the glory and splendor of heaven for the poverty of this world, so that through his poverty we might become rich. Now, Paul here isn't talking about bank balances. He's not saying that Jesus left a fortune in heaven and came down here where he hadn't two pennies to rub together so that you might become rich. That's not what Paul is saying. Jesus, by his death, by his resurrection, has lifted you from the poverty of sin and placed you into the richness of eternal life. So as you give, as we give, does it reflect what Jesus has done for you? Again, why do we give? What do we give? How do we give? All these attitudes come out of our experience of God's grace in our own lives. Did God give to us out of his richness because he had to? No. It was out of his grace, out of his love. Do we give because we have to? I hope not. But should be out of love. People wonder about, well, how much should I give? And I'm not going to tell you. I don't think anyone else here can tell you how much to give and who to give to. But the biblical teaching seems to be that it starts with a tithe, it starts with 10%, and then moves on from there. And we look at that and we think, my goodness, 10%, Stephen, that's a lot. And yet it is, and yet that's what Scripture teaches. And it may be that we need to become like the widow in the temple and simply say, I haven't got much, but what I have, I'm going to give. The biblical teaching seems to be to start with that 10%. Verse 11 of this passage, Paul simply says that we are to give according to our means. Yes, some people may give a lot, other people may give not so much, but we give according to our means, not according to what everybody else is giving. And we give not as a result of human sympathy. We give not because we think, gosh, isn't that a dreadful situation? We give not out of guilt. Maybe I better give some money to that just in case people are watching. Just in case, maybe I just better give that. I feel a bit guilty not giving. And so we give out of guilt. Or maybe we give out of some sort of prestige that we gain by giving. And so I want you to know how much I've given. I want you to know the extent of my giving. If that's our attitude, then it's all about prestige. It's not about giving. No, we give. We give as a result of the work of grace in your heart and your life. It's not for prestige. It's not so that people will notice. It's not out of a sense of guilt. It's not out of sympathy for any one or any group. It's because God has been at work in your heart and your life. And our response includes giving. Time. And again, I am so grateful for so many folks around here who give so much time to the work of the kingdom around this place. Folks who give of their gifts and their talents. Here on the Sunday, the music with the technology, folks who behind the scenes keep our administration going in the church. There are so many people who in different ways give of their gifts and their talents. And folks who give of their money. But it all starts here with our experience of the work of God in our own hearts and lives. May God grant to us a growing experience of his love, of his call upon our lives. And may he give to us the grace of giving that reflects his generosity, his extravagance. Let's take a moment, pray together. And then the band are going to come and lead us in a song that picks up this theme of offering back to God all that he has given to us. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we take so much for granted. We look at the beauty and the wonder of this world, and rarely do we stand in awe. We celebrate the Christian year, Christmas, Easter, Pentecost, and Lord, we take it for granted. And we miss out on the extravagance of your love for us. Lord, forgive us. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to all that you have done and are doing. And move us, we pray. And then in response to all that you are and all that you have done, and are doing. Lord, help us to open ourselves to you and to each other. And this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We're going to just remain in our seats and sing together this song that talks about offering up our own lives. And as we sing, our children leave for Sunday school.
worship with our offering. Adrian's going to lead our thoughts just with a meditation on Great is Thy Faithfulness. We've thought this morning about the grace of giving, God's giving to us, and our giving to Him. So just as we worship.